Welcome to Get Real with Casey Kasem, the podcast taking a look behind the scenes of the fantasy sports industry through interviews with some of your favorites in the business. For this episode, I sat down with Shane Manila to chat about being raised on cheesesteaks, tasty cakes, pretzels, and the Philadelphia Eagles, editing for Thought Process, the term content creator, writing an article for the first time, what watching football with him is like, and a ton more. Make sure to check out Shane's work with the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, Dynasty Trades in 5 on YouTube, Fantasy Intervention on YouTube, Dynasty League Football, and Fantasy Data. Please follow Shane on Twitter at ShaneIsTheWorst. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem and the podcast at GetReal_pod. Get Real is a proud member of the DAP Network. Thanks to everyone for listening to this show. Make sure to find me at the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio, August 11th through 13th, 2023. Get your tickets now at thefantasyfootballexpo.com. If you're a fan of playing fantasy football, or you put out fantasy football content, or you just like talking fantasy football with other rad individuals, or all of the above, go check out the Expo. And now, here's my chat with Shane Manila on Get Real with Casey Kasem. Okay, first, I hope my Wi-Fi doesn't screw up. They came out, they said, okay, your Wi-Fi is the best it can be. So we're going to go with that.
Best it can be. It doesn't sound very
fast. Well, he says this is super fast, and he doesn't know. So I'm going to just say, okay, and what are we paying for? So, fingers crossed, I'm not plugged in anywhere. I just have it off the Wi-Fi, so we're going to go. All right, Mr. Shane Manila is here today, and I'm very excited, as I am sure all the listeners are. We're going to get to know you a little bit, Shane. I'm so excited.
It's scary.
Yeah. Maybe scary, maybe informative. It's going to be a fun time, though. And I want to start off, for the people who don't know who you are, what got you started playing fantasy football in the first place, and how did that come about?
Oh, man. So I played, I'm old, right? So I'm 44, I believe. So I started playing back in, it feels like the same story as everyone that's old. I started playing when you used to have to keep score for yourself, like in a newspaper. So like you'd wait till the next day to find out how you did, because, you know, there wasn't Red Zone. There wasn't like ESPN and all that. Like football stuff wasn't geared towards fantasy. Like, now you look at the bottom of the game and the scrolls across and it tells you how many fantasy points someone scored. Back then it didn't. So I just started playing with friends and family, non-PPR. I think it was like, like an 8-team league, maybe. Definitely not super flex. Definitely super running back heavy. And it was just something to do. It was fun. But we used to call in our lineup the night before. And I remember being in my very early 20s and putting my lineup in repeatedly because I got hammered the night before. And like literally just calling in like Sunday at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon to the commissioner and just being like, dude, I swear to God, I just woke up. Can I put my roster in? And he'd be like, all right, yeah. But no, it just, I just always enjoyed it. It was something to do, right? Like I like check boxes. I like strategy, right? And in the olden days, I don't know how much strategy there was actually involved with fantasy football. It was a lot of like, I think this will work. I really like T.O. and Donovan McNabb, so I'm going to just draft them. But it was just something to do. It was just something I really liked. And then I stopped playing for like 6 or 7 years. And then a buddy of mine, we started a work redraft league. And then by accident, we started talking about like a keeper league. And then my buddy said, no, what you're describing is a dynasty league. And I said, what was that? That sounds fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, is that like Madden? And he's like, kind of like franchise mode. And I was like, oh, well, that's fun. I like franchise mode. Because I think everybody that played Madden, right, didn't like actually playing the game. The game was fine, right? But there's only so many times you can win 65-0 and go 17-0 and be a Super Bowl champ. you're like, I want this to be challenged. I want to be the GM. Like, that was the fun part with Madden. Like, even in the old days when you'd figure out how much were the concessions, how much was parking. And I was always, for what it's worth, I was always an asshole. I was a terrible owner. I would like the concessions. I would mark up as high as possible. The parking was as high as possibly could be. Like, I was just a mean owner. But no, I mean, look, franchise mode is where I learned like a dynasty and then just started playing it. And I have OCD and ADD and all types of D's. So once I started playing, it was like, oh, well, I can't just do one league, right? Like, I got to do this online. And I'm like, all right, so I'll join four leagues. And by like the second year, I was in like 20 online leagues with just random people that I didn't know. Like, back then, I think Ryan McDowell had Hyper Leagues. I think that's what they were called. And then there was also Data Force. I think I might be making that up. but there was all types of like commissioned leagues, like that you would just join, like, and didn't know anyone. And just, I joined so many of them all at once. And it was just, I was hooked immediately. It was like crack cocaine mixed with heroin with a little bit of sugar.
I know about sugar, so at least I. So, yeah, are you in any of those leagues still?
No, they were all single QB because I thought Superflex was blasphemy. I was like, they don't play with two quarterbacks in the NFL. Why would you do that in fantasy? All single QB, they were all start nine, just with a bunch of randos. I think that the one that lasted the longest just ended like 2 years ago. And like 2 years ago, I was like, I can't do single QB anymore. Like, it's, if you want to play it, that's cool, but just, it's not for me. So I just bounced from all those leagues, you know, said, look, you know, and the leagues, a couple of them, like I helped their demise. Like, you know, every year there's like a couple leagues that are teetering on folding. You're like, well, if I just go into the chat and I sow some discontent, maybe I can just help this league fold and then I don't have that awkward conversation of leaving it. But even the ones that I didn't help, the leagues just collapse on themselves, I was just like, look, I can't do this anymore. It's nothing personal. I love you people. But I don't enjoy the format as much. All my leagues are super flex, so I'm just going to roll out. So I'm only in one redraft league, a home league where it's one quarterback. And that's just friends and family. Well, mostly friends. And that only just started up again last year. Cause like, honestly, all the leagues I'm in other than that one, they're not with anyone like I knew from real life. All my leagues are literally people that I met through this or, you know, other leagues obviously, or from content creating.
Yeah, I think I'm in that same boat too, because it's so much more enjoyable to be in leagues with people who actually pay attention to their leagues and have the same kind of love for playing fantasy football that we do. So yeah, but here's something that I don't love, but I know that you do. I'm sure you have a favorite NFL team. So how long have you been a fan, and what, let people know who you're a fan of and so on and all that so forth stuff.
Yeah. So if people can't tell by my accent, usually you can. I am Philly. I am literally like the definition of Philadelphia, like raised on cheesesteaks, tasty cakes and pretzels and the Eagles. And I didn't know any other way except you root for your home team, right? Like, I never understood those people that would be like, oh, well, I'm from Philly, but I root for the Cowboys. And I'd be like, that, well, first of all, I hate you and I hope you get hit by a car, because that's just stupid. But then I'd be like, all right, were you from Dallas? No. Okay. Were your parents from Dallas? No. Were you named after the show Dallas? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how you can root for a team that's not from your city. And obviously I'm a little different now, but still with football, man, like I can't root for any other team but the Eagles. I took a year off from them, or at least I tried to, couple years ago with some DeSean Jackson stuff that went on, and got rid of all my Eagles gear. I jerseys, I auctioned them off and gave the money to charity. But even that year, man, it was still like, I was still rooting for him. I just wasn't doing it as vocally as I usually do. But yeah, it's the Eagles, man. I mean, dude, I'm old, right? Again, I said that I'm 44. So my first memories of football are Randall Cunningham, who was the greatest dual threat quarterback of all time. And if he played today, if he had the coaching or the systems that they have today, would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He would put Lamar Jackson to shame, Justin Fields to shame, Josh Allen to shame, all of them. He was literally one of the greatest athletes that's ever played football. And what he did was absolutely incredible. Like the first dual threat quarterback. I mean, there's probably guys before him like Fran Tarkenton, but not to that his level. He was just the ultimate weapon. Like literally that's what he was. Like he had a cannon for an arm and he could run like a gazelle, and his whole coaching scheme, the whole coaching scheme was Randall, go out there, run around and make some plays. Like there was nothing designed for him. So it was a shame. But anyway, I grew up with like Kelly Green Eagle jerseys, like the greatest jerseys of all time. Like they're old school jerseys. I love old school jerseys. And, maybe the San Diego Chargers jerseys might be better from like, I think the 60s, 70s, but I don't know. Those Kelly Green ones that are coming back this year were maybe the greatest jerseys of all time. And, you know, like every other kid, I watched football with my grandpa, not so much my dad. He was busy doing other things. But I watched football with my grandpa. I remember watching on CBS. Like you had two channels to watch football back then. It was CBS and it wasn't Fox because Fox didn't exist yet. So it was like CBS and I think NBC. And you just watch it on these little TVs. You got two games a week and you were happy as could be. Plus Monday Night Football. So you get like three games a week. But like there, you couldn't even like other teams because you couldn't see other teams. You know what I mean? Like you just saw your team. Like that's all you saw every week. So even if you wanted to root for other teams, you really couldn't because you didn't know, you didn't watch them. Like they were like myths. So yeah, the Eagles weren't particularly good. Like they won like one playoff game under Buddy Ryan, but I loved those teams. The defense was just absolutely phenomenal.
I had a Hutchinson Brown, Hutch, and he came on and I was talking with him because he's an Eagles fan. And it was so funny to hear him talk about when he started watching them because he's 16. So he's like, you know, Carson Wentz when, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm like Carson Wentz is the reason you started loving the Eagles, you know? So
what's funny about that is like kids his age or even a little younger, like I'd say probably 30s and younger, like all they really know is like success for the Eagles. Like there was that run with Donovan McNabb where they made multiple NFC championship games, and no, they didn't win a Super Bowl, but they went to a Super Bowl and they were always a playoff contender. And just there's always these little like couple down years here and there. It's like inevitable, like the end of every coaching regime, Andy Reid, Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson, but then they always bounce back quickly and they're always back in it. When I was a kid, like they were, except for the Buddy Ryan times, man, there were some brutal, brutal Eagle years, man. They had like Jeff Kent quarterback in form, Rodney Pete, just absolutely atrociousness. Like 9-7 was the best you could hope for. But yeah, since I think anyone under the age of 30, like really all they know is success and losing in Super Bowls, which is a little sad, but you know what I mean? Compared to the alternative of not even making it out of the first round, I guess I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, as a Cowboys fan,
Yeah. I mean, you guys haven't been in the Super Bowl in this century.
I was in elementary school. Like, yay, I'm glad those memories that could stick with me forever, you know?
Look, Cowboy fans love coming to the Eagle fans. They do. And I'm always like, bro, you won a bunch of Super Bowls, but you haven't won one this century. Eagles might have only won one, although I will always claim the NFL championships that the Eagles won. They won two of them. I don't care if it was before the Super Bowl, they existed, so they count to me, even if it was 40 years before I was alive, whatever. But yeah, like Cowboy fans, like you guys haven't even been in a Super Bowl this century, right? Century.
Yeah, we know.
I'm just saying. And
yeah. I'm not the fan that comes at you, though, because I hate the fact that when we got them, okay, cool. As a kid, you're like, sweet, you know? And then, like, what? As an adult, you realize what's really happening, and you're like, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. Why is this what we're dealing with every year? I don't know.
I'll tell you what, man, after losing two Super Bowls now, what is it, two that we've lost in a row? Something like that. I obviously don't, because they wouldn't be making the playoffs if I was on their team. 44-year-old, out of shape, smoker, probably wouldn't be very helpful to the team. Losing in the Super Bowl sucks. Like, I almost feel like it's better to lose in the first round of the playoffs, even though I said earlier, at least we made some Super Bowls, right? But at least by the time the Super Bowl rolls around, like, you're over it, kind of. You're like, yay, but, like, there's no over it now. It's like, if the Eagles don't win a Super Bowl next year, like, it's just going to continue to haunt. And part of that is, like, the Phillies lost in the World Series, too. And if you like soccer, which whatever, I don't, the Union lost in the championship as well. So it was like Philadelphia, like three out of the five major sports made it to the championship and lost. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you not win one by like, come on, man. And I don't even want to go to the parade, because I've been to the Phillies parade. I went to the Eagles parade a few years ago when they won it 5 years ago now. And the parades were awesome, but I don't want to do that again. I just want a day off from work without having to call out. Like, that's all I want.
I mean, yeah, that sounds delightful, actually. I got really upset that I couldn't go to the Mavericks parade whenever they won way back in the day.
Oh, back when
2011.
Yeah, what was that, Dirk? They won it. Jesus, you were 11? How long ago was
No, that? I wasn't 11. It was 2011.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was going to say, like, you can't be
no, that. I was working. I wasn't going to get that day off no matter what. So I was so pissed because I was like, I want to go to the parade, but whatever.
See, that's a fun one, because that was a surprise. Like, yeah. I don't think anyone expected them to win that one. The year they played Miami, I remember it, like, I was like, yeah. Oh, they got this in the bag. You expected it. It's almost more fun when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't hurt as much when you lose. By the time the Phillies made it to the World Series, I was like, oh, this is fate. There's no way they lose. Yep. Never mind. Eagles in the Super Bowl. I was like, dude, they're the best team in football. Like, it's clear. Like, they had one real regular season loss. They're the best team in football. They're going to win. And being up 10 at halftime, like, even though they should have been up more, and you're like, oh, this is a little close. You already were like, they're the best team. They're going to win. And they lose. But at least if, like, you didn't even expect to be there, it's kind of like, this is house money. But whatever, you get over it, right? Like, because even if they win the Super Bowl, I say this all the time, it's not like my dick got any bigger when they won the Super Bowl. It's not like I got a check from the Eagles or anything. They didn't send me a ring. So at the end of the day, I still got to go to work and stuff. But it is just kind of nice. Like, all right, our team's the best at something. And especially, like, it would be nice to send a big fuck you out to the Cowboys fans and just be like, hey, fuck off, nutsacks. Like, there's a second one. We're legitimate now, you know? with just that one, you feel like you're kind of like a fluke.
I need to start a podcast where it's just Eagles fan and a Cowboys fan, and I just put them in a stream yard together and just let them do their thing.
See, I think for the most part, except for, I forget his handle. The dude's from Philly. He writes for Fantasy Data. I forget his handle. William. He's the most obnoxious Cowboys fan. But for the most part, I don't really mind Cowboy fans. Because, like, we talk about this in my GroupMe chat all the time. Like, I don't even think about the Cowboys. Like, they're not our rival anymore. Like, to me, like, I don't care what happens in the regular season. Like, the Cowboys could sweep the Eagles as long as the Eagles go further in the playoffs. I'm like, whatever. Good luck. Good for you guys. Like, rivals now at this point, like, whoever's in the Super Bowl, that's your rival.
Right.
Like, the Eagles, like, I'm just thinking, like, all right, Kansas City, can they get back and beat Kansas City? Buffalo, that's a rival, because those are teams that you could see in the Super Bowl. San Francisco, a team that you could see in the NFC Championship. but not the Cowboys. Like, no, I just you don't worry about them. Like, to me as an Eagle fan, you don't worry about them because they're not going to win in the playoffs if they make it to the playoffs. They're just not. I mean, we'll see when they add Bijan to that roster. It'd be a little scary unless, of course, the Eagles draft Bijan, but really don't think about the Cowboys like that. Like, I don't get – when I was a kid, obviously, it's different. You used to go out for Cowboy Week, and I remember going tailgating the first time T.O. came back as a Cowboy. And, yeah, that was fun. Like, they were setting T.O. jerseys on fire in the parking lot, throwing shit at Cowboys fans. Not me. It's not cool to throw things at people. But, I mean, it's just what was happening. But I mean, people were tempted fate, like walking through Eagles parking lot with a T.O. jersey on. Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I know it's all in fun, but you know Philly's reputation. We're not good people. Some of us. Although I will say, most of the bad fans, the ones that give Philly the bad rap, aren't really from Philly. They're from like South Jersey and Delaware and shit. at least that's what I'm going to claim. I have nothing to back that up on. But, like, that's when it was, like, yeah. Like, you'd get hyped. You'd be thinking about Cowboys Week for, like, 2 weeks. Now, like, I don't even know when they're on the schedule half the time.
Yeah. I get that. And, like, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, like, 5 years ago, whatever you said. That's not a jab. That's me just going back.
A long time now. It definitely was.
Right. But I, as a Cowboys fan, was, like, kind of heartbroken, more so because my team pisses me off, and then I see this team doing what I wish my team could freaking do, right?
Right.
And then the last time they were in the Super Bowl, yeah, I was like, if they win, it's not going to hurt me or make me feel bad. Like, it wasn't the same emotion that I had prior to. So I'm like, what, you know? So
yeah, and that's I think that's the other thing is you get older too, right? Like, it hurts less.
Yeah.
Like it used to like. Maybe it's because of the Patriots. The Patriots has just numbed us, right? We got used to them winning so many times.
Yeah.
Everyone hated them, except for people from that fake area of the country that's called New England, which I still don't know where exactly that is. That's just like all these people with weird accents, worse than Philly accents, all claim they're from New England, so they can claim anything in that area. But I think most of the country and most of the world hated the New England Patriots, rightly so, because they're terrible people, terrible human beings, just cheaters in every way. I just do that to piss people off. but I think everyone, like, no one likes a juggernaut, right? It's cute. Like, I loved the Patriots when they first won the Super Bowl. I was like, this is awesome. Second one, I'm like, Third one, it's like, geez, go away. Fourth one, it's like, stop, just stop. But I think that just numbs you to it. Like, the Yankees winning it enough. Duke wins the championship enough. New England wins the championship enough. Golden State wins the championship enough. You just get numb to it. You're like, whatever. Like, this has no parallel to anything else other than sports, right? There's no greater lesson other than spend the most money, make the best deals. Like, you know what I mean? That's what you should do. And that's what everybody should want their teams to do. Right. As much as I hated Golden State, I hated them because they put together a super team and the Sixers never did it. As much as I hated New England, it's just because Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were the greatest head coach and greatest quarterback in the NFL history. And you couldn't stop them. Same with the Yankees, you know, look, I hate the Yankees, and I hate the Boston Red Sox, but you know what those teams always do? Spend to the absolute max. They're like luxury tax. We don't give a shit. We're spending way over that. So it's part jealousy that you're just like, man, yep. I wish our teams would do that.
Yeah.
But I will say it's always cool. Now that I went through it with the Phillies, like that was my big one. Like I love the Phillies and I hadn't seen the championship. I think Philly hadn't seen the championship since, I don't even know, 81. So I was three. And yeah, that doesn't count. So when the Phillies won, like that was the coolest. Like it was the Eagles too, obviously, because it was the first Super Bowl. But like after those two wins, I kind of hated other sports fan bases less, except for Boston, New York, and New England, / Boston, because their accents are awful. They make Philly sound like sophisticated, and generally they're just obnoxious people. But like when other fan bases win a championship for the first time, I'm always like, that's really awesome. Like, it's a cool feeling. Like I'm genuinely happy for like my friends that win that, you know, like I'm happy. Like if they root for a team, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Again, as long as it's not like Boston, who has won, it's just everything. And I'm so annoyed. Like, I don't know what I was on Twitter last night, but someone was talking about like, yeah, the Bruins winning Stanley Cups, Celtics winning championships, New England winning championships in football, Boston Red Sox winning World Series. Like, they've had so many parades. Stop. More people need parades. Like, we need some communism in sports. Give it to the other teams, specifically Philly teams.
Specifically, well, it is cool, though, to see other, you know, fan bases get to experience that. Yeah, and it's really, like, it's sweet to see how excited people get that. You wouldn't even think we're going to get that excited. Like, I'm just thinking back to like when the Mavericks won again, because I don't have anything to hold on to, because like the Rangers were in the World Series for a few years. In
twice, right? Didn't they?
Yes. 2 years. And that was heartbreaking, because it was just like, that was really heartbreaking. But I want to get happier stories. So we're going to talk a little fantasy football, but not the way that most podcasts do, where I ask you questions about how you feel about players and stuff, but more like going from redraft to dynasty, for instance, is kind of a big deal. It is. And a lot of people get kind of nervous taking the next step, going from their redraft leagues to playing dynasty. When you first started playing dynasty, how did you go into it? What were kind of like the things that you had to kind of overcome to get better at playing dynasty?
I think the usual stuff, right? You don't know how valuable rookie picks are, because you're like, well, that's 2 years from now. Like, what's a rookie pick? Like, you not knowing how to value players correctly, age curves, things like that. You're just like, I don't have any idea, because redraft is literally, all right, reset every year, reset every year, reset every year. It doesn't matter if a player's 35 or if they're 25. Like, their value is the same, as far as the age doesn't matter. You know, obviously there's other factors that can differentiate what they're worth, but that was the biggest thing, just value, really valuing, understanding how to use rookie picks, understanding trades. Trades were always confusing. I remember, it's funny now, because now all I do is shows that are based around trades, but I was nervous to take trades. Like, people would send me offers and I'd go, I don't know what to do with this. You know, I didn't use a trade calculator back then. I didn't have any like real friends that were playing dynasty football. I had a couple, but they were newbies like me, and a couple real life friends, you know, and I didn't really know else. This is before I created content, so I didn't know anyone. So someone would send me a trade offer and I would just be like, I don't know, I'm so scared to take this, because if I take this, then someone's gonna yell at me. And more than a few times I took trades and then people would be like, that was a brutal trade, you are you don't know what you're doing, you're pretty stupid. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. But then, you know, I did have a couple people in leagues that would reach out to me and be like, hey, this is why this was a bad trade. You know what I mean? Or explain it to me. And I'd be like, oh, I get it. And I mean, thankfully, there were people that would just reach out to you and just be like, hey, you know, don't do that. Like, that's bad. This is why it's bad. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So yeah, valuing players and trades and just making bad trades. But it's how you learn. It's like anything else, right? If you don't fail, you're never going to be good at something. There's not many people that immediately go into something and they're great at it, you know, unless they're a savant. And I don't know any fantasy football savants. I could be wrong. There might be some out there. If you are, good for you. Congrats.
You should you're about to hear from them.
Yeah, you should definitely have a podcast and a YouTube show, and I'll subscribe, because I still make mistakes now. I'm getting blasted right now on Twitter over a couple different things. It happens. It's cool. It's fine. It's life.
True. How did you start putting out fantasy football content? Because, you know, that's also something that perplexes people. How do I get started? And how did you get started?
So I had two different pathways to that. So when I was younger, I actually used to write, not fantasy football content. But, you know, literally since like kindergarten, I used to just write stories, write short stories and stuff like that. And in like middle school, grade school, not so much high school because I wasn't a great kid. But I won like awards and stuff and had it like published and not like, you know, like Time, but like kid magazines and stuff like that. I just used to write stories. And then as I got a little older, I used to actually write poetry. And I don't know that it was particularly good, but it's something I enjoyed and I liked doing it. And, you know, then I stopped writing, real world creeps in, you know, I started doing other things, to get my creative juices flowing other than writing. Straightened up, went to college, and I just had it written in a while, like I said. And then I started playing Dynasty Football. And then I saw a tweet. Someone was just like, hey, you want to write? You think you can write for fantasy about fantasy football? And I'm like, how hard can that be? Like, yeah, I can do that. And it was a Dynasty Football Factory. So I reached out to them, said, hey, I can do this. How hard can it be, I think? So the owner, Michael Goins, sent me a task, basically, like, hey, just, you know, write about this, choosing one of these teams. And I immediately got it wrong. I think he asked me to write about the Arizona Cardinals or someone else. And I ended up writing about a team that they had already done and published an article on. And he was like, well, this isn't really what I was looking for, but... And he was just like, you know, look, your writing's a little rough, but you're very sarcastic and genuine. And like, I can see, like, you know, you could kind of, you could mold this into something if you could just, you know, clean up some of your rougher edges and get a lot of your non sequiturs and stuff like that. And I was like, cool. Just started writing. And then literally just nonstop, man, I would write like an article a day, and they might not have been good. But they were one thing with then I tell people that get into writing, I tell them like, let it be you, you know, let me see some of your personality in your writing. Like, you know, there's certain people when you read what they're writing, you don't even have to read the byline, you know, who wrote it. You're like, oh, okay, that's Peter Howard, you know, like, that's Tyler Karp, or that's Scott Connor. Grant Barfield, just certain people. Like, I know when I, as soon as I start reading it, and I just listed off a bunch of DLF people and then Graham, but there's many other writers that are like that, where you just read it and you go, oh, I know who that is. Like, I don't even need, and that's kind of how I want it to be. And the way I want it to be was like, well, what am I like as a person? I'm easily distracted. I do have non sequiturs a lot of times. I kind of do just veer off into these weird analogies and these weird pathways. And that's how my writing's going to be. And if people don't like it, they don't like it. You know, and as the more I wrote a little, I got a little more data driven, definitely less just opinion. I'm very opinionated, but I try to base my opinions on data. I forget what the original question was because I've been rambling so long.
Well, my question was kind of rambly too. Most of my questions are because I'm like, you know what? Let me throw a stone out there, you know, and, you know, maybe I'll hit something. So now, I mean, okay. Yeah. It was mainly about putting out content for the first time and going that route, how to actually get the content out and how you went about figuring out what you were doing.
Yeah. So I started writing and I wrote a lot. And, you know, this was a fledgling site. I think I used that word correctly. Basically, you know, it was one of those sites that you don't get paid to do anything.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't making any money. So then he just kept giving me like more opportunities to do things. He's like, you want to rank? I'm like, sure, I'll do that. He's like, you want to edit? And I'm like, I'll download Grammarly. Sure, I can do that. And then he's like, oh, you want to run this handle, this Dynasty Trades HQ handle? And I'm like, sure, I can do that, you know. And he just kept giving me stuff. And then he's like, hey, you want to be a part owner? And I'm like, I don't have any money. And he's like, well, no, you don't, but you put a lot of work into it, so do that, you know, you'll just be an owner and continue doing what you do. And I, you know, put together a couple draft guides. Honestly, my favorite thing from my time at Dynasty Football Factory was working with other writers and editing. and not editing for grammar. I mean, obviously you would, but more editing for like thought process. Like, okay, what is this based on? Like, you made this statement that this player isn't very good at something. What is that based on? Is it based on something, you know? And just, I enjoyed that because we couldn't pay writers. We weren't making shit. Like, literally never made shit the whole time we were there. So I was like, well, if I can't pay writers, I got to give them something out of this, you know? So I don't want to say mentor because that's not really my thing, but it was more like I want to at least help them find their voice, find whether that be in writing, podcasting, YouTubing, looking out for them when other sites are, you know, paid sites are looking for people. You know, I'd always put in a good word for the dudes that I, or women that I had under me that I thought, you know, like, hey, they should be over at DLF, or they should be over at RotoViz, or they should be over. So I would always try to look out for people like that. Then you know, the owner of the site, the main owner, he kept trying to get me to podcast. And I'm like, dude, have you've spoken to me? I'm like, you hear my voice. Like you've talked to me, like, you know, that I'm not built for that. That's not really my thing. Like, cause the other podcasters that were out back then were very, I don't want to say not bland's not the word I'm looking for, but they were very much not like me. Like, they sounded smoother and kind of, a lot of them sounded boring to me. Not all of them. Mind you, there were some ones that I really liked, like Dynasty Nerds. I loved my dude Zach, Dynasty Dummies. Like, I don't want to just talk about football. Like, I want to be able to use analogies that make sense to me. Like, I want to compare this to drug use, sex, like, just things that I didn't hear on other podcasts. And I was like, all right, well, then this is how I'm going to do it. Like, it's going to be me. Like, just, I'm not going to listen to my show. I'm not going to edit myself in any way. I don't have a filter in real life. I'm not going to have a filter on the mic, and people are either going to like it or dislike it. And, you know, some of the comments that I've gotten in the past have been like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, just get to the fantasy football content now. Like, yeah. And I'm like, well, that's not, well, like, there, that'll be there. But you know what? Also, I'm probably going to talk about my dating over the last few years, because to me, it's interesting. And if it's not interesting to you, well, fucking turn it off. Hit skip. You know what I mean? Like, no one's forcing you to listen to this podcast. You listen already, and I have this terrible accent. If you can make it through that, like, you can make it through just about anything. And then I got bullied into doing a YouTube show with my buddy Scott Connor and Clay Pandemic. You know, like his real name out there, last name. So we ended up doing a show now. I skipped some steps along the way. I left DFF at one point because my wife left me and I was in a bad place. And I was like, I don't have the bandwidth to run a fantasy football site anymore. And when I said that to, there was, I think, two other co-owners. The one was really cool about it. He's like, dude, I get it. I understand. You ever need a drink? Let's hang out. And then the other one's like, well, could you just stay on and maybe just write? And I'm like, dude, like, just, that's not what I need right now. You know what I mean? Like, no, I need to disconnect. So I left there. Luckily, prior to us leaving there, me leaving there, the podcast Dynasty Trades HQ, the site actually owned all the podcasts. There was like five or six different podcasts or DFF, and against my wishes at the time when I was an owner there, the primary owner said, I don't feel like dealing with these podcasts. I don't think they're worth it. I'm just going to give them to the people because they belong to the sites. And I was like, I, even as a person that did one of the podcasts, I was like, I don't think that's a great idea, but he overruled me. So like a year later when I ended up leaving, I'm like, all right, well, I still have Dynasty Trades HQ. I can still do that. Eventually, I was like, I kind of miss writing. And I reached out to DLF, Ryan McDowell, who I'd spoken to, you know, previously before that. And was just like, dude, can I get back in writing? Like, you know, they asked me a couple times if I wanted to write for them. And I was like, hey, you know, if you're still looking, if you're still interested, I'd love to come aboard because I just want to get back into writing, got into it again. So I've been writing for DLF for like 2 years now. Dynasty Trades HQ podcast is like 5 years old, and then started doing Fantasy Intervention on Wednesday nights with my buddy Chase and Jacob and Alligator Jay every Wednesday night for the last couple of years, and then Dynasty Trades in Five on YouTube. I don't know, maybe a year and a half now with Clay and Scott. And it's just funny because every step along the way, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I don't know if I want a podcast. And now I love it. And then I'm like, I don't know if I want to do a YouTube show. Like who wants to just watch us talk about fantasy football? Like, it's one thing to listen to it, but who wants to watch us? But now it's like my favorite thing. We live stream on Tuesdays. And honestly, it's the best night of the week for me. Other than Fridays when I get my kids on the weekends, but like Tuesdays, like during the work week, it's the best day to me. I'm like, oh, I get to go live stream now. Like, it's just awesome. I don't know.
No, that is awesome. It's always nice to have something to look forward to, right? Right. So right. Help get you through the day. And that's awesome. Yeah. Whenever I like know that I have a podcast that I'm going to be talking to somebody, like knowing that I'm going to get to talk to you today, I was like, sweet. You know, it really does kind of brighten your day to know that you have something to look forward to. Right, so great. That's a great observation there. And yeah, you are all over the place. You've got a lot of stuff that you are, you know, you have your imprint on. And how do you balance all of it? How do you, cause you got so much going on.
I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, I don't date that much. So there's that. Yay. No social life. I don't have my kids during the week, right? They're with their mom during the school week because her school district's so much better. So I don't have to do certain things. Like on Monday nights, I do take my kid to karate, but like Tuesday nights and Thursday nights when he does karate, I don't. So it's kind of like, I mean, what else would I do? You know what I mean? I could sit home. I could watch TV. I mean, I do everything everyone else does. Like I get up, go to work. After work, I go to the gym. I come home, I eat. And then it's like, all right, well, now what? All right, I guess I'll podcast. I guess I'll do roster reviews with Scott. Oh, I got a live stream tonight. And really, when you think about it, it's only live streaming's only 2 hours a day, right? So you do that from 8:30 to 10:30. I can do two roster reviews a day with Scott, half an hour each. Only need an hour for that. I only need an hour to live stream for Fantasy Intervention. I only need about an hour, hour and a half to record for Dynasty Trades HQ. Do a lot of stuff on the weekends. I don't go out much, you know what I mean? On the weekends, I'm with my kids. So, you know, they 14 and 11. They want to hang out with me for a little bit. They're like, yeah, let's do one thing. And then I don't want to be around you the rest of the day. So, like this week, they're off from school. So Wednesday we go miniature golfing, and then the rest of the day they're like, yeah, no, we're good. We're going to go play video games. I'm like, oh, all right. And then yesterday or Thursday, they're like, we want to go hang over at my friend's for 6 hours. I'm like, all right, what else am I going to do? You know, right. I go for a walk, and then I'm like, well,
yeah,
I could sit around and watch TV, but that's stupid. I might as well just go do something that I like. And I mean,
no,
that's what I do. I end up doing it.
No, that's nice to kind of be, I guess I feel like sometimes people were like, yeah, I do a lot of stuff and, you know, like I don't really enjoy doing this or I don't really enjoy doing that. So the fact that you enjoy, you know, being behind the camera and being behind a microphone, and you can actually tell when listening to you or when seeing you on YouTube that you're enjoying what you're doing. So, and you interact well with other co-hosts, guests, etc. How do you, make sure that the conversation flows accordingly and doesn't kind of go, I know that it goes off the rails because that's what it is, but you know, how do you make sure that it doesn't get stale or doesn't get, you know, sometimes you might have somebody come on the show and kind of have to guide the conversation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so I've luckily only been in that situation a couple times, right? It's like, oh man, this is absolutely fucking brutal. And, like, I'll just text someone behind the scenes and be like, yeah, we're never having this person back on any show ever again. But to me, it's just, I don't like to admit this. I like talking, you know what I mean? Like, I go to bars, I talk to people, like, you know, when people, I just talk to people, like, talking's easy. Everything's just a conversation. That's what I always tell people, like whether it's a job interview or it's a live stream, whether it's a podcast, you're literally just having a conversation with people, about something that you all like. I'm talking about fantasy football. Like how could the conversation go stale? Like even when you talk about the same things over and over again, you can always divert it and be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to take this conversation somewhere else. And just my natural, the way my brain works is just, I kind of joke a lot. So I'm always joking around, kidding around. I'm always looking, I don't know that I do it on purpose. It's just what I do. And I like talking to people. It's fun talking to people. Like what? There's not many people that I've talked to, honestly, in this space that I'm like, Jesus, this is fucking brutal. Like there's literally maybe on the amount of guests that I've had on HQ or intervention, or that we've had, I should say, because I'm not the host. I cannot host. I've tried doing that on my own and there's a flow. Like that's what my co-hosts are great at, or just kind of like roping me back in. When they're like, Shane, can you stop talking about methamphetamines? Like, what? This is fantasy football. Bring it back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's rope it in. But honestly, out of all the people I've ever spoken to, there's only been like one or two where I'm like, this is terrible. Like, I can't imagine having to talk to you in real life because I would fucking just leave in the middle of the conversation. Like, why are you so bad at this? Do you not have friends at all? Like, was there no socialization when you were growing up? I don't understand. So there's only been like two of those people.
Well, I mean, that, you know what? Power to you, two people. And all the years that you've been on fantasy Twitter and have been a part of the fantasy football community, you've probably seen a lot of different waves of people coming in. And like you said, not really being a mentor, but seeing these people and being like, wow, you should be with this site. Wow, you should. To see people grow in this community, how does that feel to see people that you like worked with or that you helped bring into the space?
It's awesome. That's one thing I don't get to do anymore now that I don't edit, I don't manage anything, is I don't really get to bring people along. And I miss that, you know, because it was always cool. Like you'd be like, oh, that not like I'm responsible for that person, but I helped them in some way, you know, like they probably were going to make it anyway, more likely than not. But it's like really cool. It's like I really like this person. And even a couple of years ago, like I set up a chat with a bunch of people that are new to the space and some old to the space, because I just, you know, I like people as much as I don't like to admit it. Hopefully no one calls me on this shit. I like people on an individual level, I should say. As a group, we're a horrible, horrible species. But if you get us down to the individual levels, I like us. So I would just put a group together and try to shout out people. I remember when I first started, like, I had to claw for any like recognition before like people even knew who I was. So, and I remember anytime someone would give me a shout out, like Ryan McDowell, I'd be like, oh, holy shit, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened in life. Like, I am amazed. This is awesome. So every once in a while, I still try to do that. Like I see someone that's like fairly new in the space, or maybe that I just discovered, I'm like, wow, this person's really awesome. You need to check them out. Because one, I just think if they're really awesome, hopefully people will check them out. Two, I do like seeing people do well, good people, at least people that I think are good people. There's obviously a list of people I don't like, whatever. and when they're successful, I'm like, ah, fuck off. I'm better than you. Anyway. But no, I mean, if I like people, how could you not like seeing them do well? You know, and I interact with a lot of different people, maybe not as much as I'd like to. Like, it's not as like, I don't check in on people as much as I'd like to, as I used to be able to do, because I do spend a lot of time just doing content. But no, it's awesome. When you see people that you know, people that you like doing well, you're like, wow, that's fucking cool. Like, it's good to see people. It's good to see people that you like doing well. Like Scott Connors, my co-host on Dynasty Trades and Five. And before that, we used to do a show on DLF Manic and Chill. But it was really infrequent, and it was really like, we need Clay. I don't know if anyone's ever, if you go, you should probably find that on DLF. Me and Scott would just ramble for like 50 minutes on one topic. But like I see him blowing up and I'm like, good. Like that's my dude. Like I like him on a personal level, obviously. And he's my co-host. And I just want to see people that I like, that I think are sharp, that I think are smart, that I think are awesome, do well.
Yeah. I mean, it is great to see, especially because there are so many people that put out great content. And yeah, to be able to just like support people, the community is great in that aspect of the support, and having like the expo, the Fantasy Football Expo, having Scott Fishbowl where people can interact with all kinds of people and learn. I mean, I've met so many people through that, and just to see that community. Do you remember how Twitter played a role in your fantasy journey? Or because, I mean, fantasy Twitter is kind of insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's where everybody finds you, right? And that's where I remember Ryan McDowell used to do these lists every year, and he'd do like best under 1,000 followers, 5,000 followers, 100 followers, best new podcast, all this just type of stuff where people would find you, like no one knew you. And I just, it was always awesome when you'd get a tweet from like that. From, I keep saying Ryan, but that's the one I remember the most. Like Ryan would, and he used to do this all the time. He would just tweet out like, hey, I just discovered so-and-so, not just me, obviously, but I just discovered so-and-so. But when he would do that, next thing you know, you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I got 20 new followers. And when you have 100 followers, you're like, 20 new followers, that's crazy. Like I remember when I broke 500 followers and I was like, wow, this is absurd. I can't believe this many people follow me, and then 1,000, etc. But I connected with so many people on fantasy Twitter that I ended up liking, right? It's funny. It's back then, what was it, 80 characters? I don't even remember how many characters we had when I started 6 years ago. But like you could get the sense of people and the sense of their thought process, and just if you like them just off their Twitter, and then you start talking to them in real life and you're like, oh, I do like this person. Like that was a good call. And, you know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, no, this person's terrible. I didn't know that they were like a right wing zealot. I don't want to be their friend. but you know what I mean? Look. Largely, I'd say fantasy Twitter, I'd say, is very fun. You know, people complain about it like it's toxic. I'm like, it's toxic as you make it. You know, like all my interactions with people for the most part are good.
Find the right people. You're not following the right people, or you are the wrong person. Yes. Right.
And you remember there used to be a couple of people in the space. Remember a 14-team mocker?
Yeah, I do.
Who were just absolutely terrible people. And then when I remember, at least their Twitter persona, I don't know from a real life perspective, their Twitter persona was absolutely trash, right? And I remember interacting with them and then just one day being like, why? Like, why? Like, why am I giving this oxygen? Like, that's how fire continues to breathe, is when you give it oxygen or continues to live, you give it oxygen. If you take away its oxygen, it suffocates and goes away. And it's like, I'm just going to suffocate it. Like, if it's not people that I like talking to, like if they're just combative to be combative, like if they're name calling, it's like, yeah, I know it's the real world, but I don't want to interact with it. I'm not going to interact with it. And most of the people that I interact with on Twitter, I just found were cool, or I wouldn't interact with them. You know, I'd be like, eh. And yeah, I mean, I follow a few more people than I used to, and I have a few more followers than I used to, but I try to, I don't know. I still try to interact with people if they're cool. Like if people that are dicks, I'm just like, no, I'm good. Like there's no need for me to feed into that.
Right. Exactly. Took me a minute to learn that too. Like, life is so much better on Twitter when you don't deal with all the nonsense. So definitely. But whenever I talk to people on this show, and we're talking about podcasts, one of the first podcasts that you've listened to, or one of the first podcasts that kind of got you into putting out content, I've had people bring up Dynasty Trades HQ as, you know, I wanted to put out that kind of content. Like, just speaking to like, I don't, was it Russ? It might have been Russ, could have been Russ, probably was Russ. But, you know, putting out trade content, putting out something that's different than what the normal podcast is, and focusing on certain things. How do you come up with what you guys are going to talk about? How do you have a show sheet? Do you have a rhyme or reason to it? Or how does it go exactly?
Yeah, I mean, we have a show sheet. I'll say this. So, like, just for last night, for example, like, a lot of times it's just I make a lot of trades. You know, I'm in 28 leagues right now, which is the lowest I've been in since, I don't know, a long time. It's first time I've been under 30 in a long, long time. But I mean, that's kind of where it always stems. And then I'll also just be scrolling Twitter and I'll just find like interesting little things to me. And I'm like, I kind of want to talk about that. And then just news. And then just honestly, our conversations kind of just veer off where they go. Like, it's a rough outline. It's like I kind of, a lot of, you know, sometimes they're structured shows, right? We do a series where we'll be like, oh, well, we think these top 24 players won't be in the 24 next year. Right? But we don't do those a lot. Like, it's more just freeform talking. Like, here's the outline. It goes where it goes. And then just that's it, really. It's like not that deep. Find trades that I do because it's mostly me because I'm just nonstop. Sometimes I'll talk about things that, you know, that our patrons are talking about in the chat. But just really, that's it. Like, I just, and we just talk. It goes where it goes. And that, yeah, that's one of my favorite, like kind of like, oh, that's cool, I think, deals when people go, oh, well, I heard you do a podcast. I knew I could do one. And I'm like, wait, is that, that's good? And they're like, well, you can do it.
Well, like,
yeah.
No, that is not what anyone means when they say that. They are like inspired, and being inspired is important in this space, and to have people that you can look to and look up to.
I mean honestly the only thing I think that makes HQ different than other shows was, yeah, it was specific to one thing. And mind you, there was Dynasty Trade Calculator. There was the Roto one, Dynasty Trade Cast too, right? But I think what was a little different with ours is, this isn't a shot at those shows, but just in general, listen to podcasts, it would be this forced, like, hey, what did you do this weekend? The weather's great. And I'm like, I fucking hate small talk. Like, we're not going to do that. Like, if we're going to talk personal shit, like, yeah, it's right? going to be personal shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're not going to do it every week, but when we get into it, it's going to be like, hey, Shane, so he had a date. How'd that go? And I'm like, well, I banged some chick in the back of her truck. So that was pretty awesome. And people are like, wait, what? What are you doing? And I'm like, what? This isn't how humans talk to each other. Like, we literally said the way we wanted the show to be was, if you're at a bar, how do you talk to people? Hopefully before you're absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
And you start saying really inappropriate shit. Yeah. You know, the shit you're gonna call people up the next day about and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But yeah. Before that, when you had that fun buzz going, like, that's how I kind of wanted it to be. Like, yeah, we're going to talk about fantasy football. It's going to veer off into other things, but it should be fun. Like, yes, there's strategy involved. There's strategy in everything I talk about, but it should be fun at the end of the day. It's a game.
Yeah. It's, yeah, exactly. It's a game.
Sorry, my kids just came.
Nope, you're totally cool.
So it's funny, and I said this last night, it's an Inception moment. I'm recording with Scott last night doing roster reviews, and my kids are just being obnoxiously loud. So I go in the other room, and I'm like, shut up, I'm trying to record. And my son turns to me, and he goes, you shut up, I'm trying to record. And I was like, Jesus.
Oh, man.
And then I kicked them. Because you can tell me, shut up. You can't beat me. You're 14.
You can't believe. Do your kids like fantasy football? Are they into that kind of stuff?
No, not at all. No. My oldest son doesn't like sports at all. Just not even a little bit. Doesn't like one sport. And I tried when he was little. And I didn't force him because I was never going to be that dude. But we took him to swimming. We took him to t-ball. flag football. We tried soccer. Just every sport we tried to get him to play. He's like, I hate this. I never want to do this again. And we're like, all right. Meanwhile, my other little dude, like, he's done soccer. He's been doing karate since he was like 6 or 7. He did swimming. He did basketball. Like, he'll do basketball again. Like, he's, but fantasy football, like, neither of them want anything to do with it. They don't really like football. Like, they, you know, they know the Eagles and they'll watch it with their mom. And if it's on while they're here, they'll watch with me. But like, I'll go over to my buddies on a Sunday. Like, that's where we get watch the games. And like, they don't even stay in the same room as us to watch the game. Like, they just go off and go play video games. I'm like, all right, whatever. No, but yeah, they like recording and live streaming them playing Roblox, I guess, and probably Piggy, and not Fortnite. That's not cool anymore, but definitely Roblox games.
Oh yeah, those Roblox games. Yeah, I hear that's the cool stuff right now. So.
The graphics on it are trash. Yeah, like they did play it. I'm like, bro, like you don't understand the struggle we went through to get to the graphics that you have now. And
right,
you're going right back to playing on some like 28-bit type of looking game. Like, what are you doing? But whatever. As long as
yes. I don't know the appeal, but okay. Yeah, you do you. Mm-hmm. Watching football with you, how is that experience? How are you on game day?
I am. I say things that I feel very bad about almost immediately after I say them. I yell a lot. I curse a lot, not surprisingly. Yeah, it's me, just an angrier, meaner version of me that, again, I say things and I'm like, oof, that's really mean. Like, I might have maybe wished like referees have unfortunate accidents on the way home, and I'll be like, wow, that's really uncalled for. There's no reason for that. Like, Jesus, dude, what are you doing? Like, relax, it's a game. Yeah, no, it's par for the course. It's, you know, it's me. I say some things I regret immediately, but I think it's fun. I'm funny, you know. I think it's enjoyable, but yeah, it's definitely intense. I'd say intense. That's the word I'm looking for.
It's intense. How much football do you watch during the season? Do you watch all of as many games as you can, or are you one of those guys that's like, yeah?
No, I mean, I'll watch obviously all Sunday, Red Zone. I can't even watch like an Eagles game. Like, I'm a Red Zone baby, like the rest of America now. Like, I can't sit through one game just now. But obviously, all the Red Zone, every Sunday night game, every Monday night game, every Thursday night game. I even try to watch some XFL and USFL and AAF if I can, but it's usually awful. I'll watch CFL. I know it sucked because there was a pandemic. But during the COVID season, when there were games felt like every night, that was just awesome. When they had to push games back to Tuesdays, and I think we had a Wednesday night game, I was loving it. Like, if we could have a game every night of the week, I would watch it.
Do you, with Dynasty, you know, we were talking earlier about young players and things like that being in college. Do you watch college players? Do you watch a lot of college football, or how does that go when it comes to Dynasty?
So I honestly don't watch a lot of college football. Like, I'll watch obviously like the big games on Saturday night, whatever's on, because, well, basically there's nothing else on a Saturday night. I don't want to watch a movie, so I'll watch college football, and I'll watch some during the week, like on Tuesday nights. I think the MAC still has game on Tuesday nights, or just I don't even know what nights, but once in a while I'll watch college football. But I don't get buried into it just because I didn't go to like a big college. So I definitely don't have like a rooting interest. So it's like I've never been one of those people. It's like, oh, go Penn State, you know. And also I let real life stuff interfere with how I feel about certain programs. Yeah. So Penn State's had some issues. So I could never really be like, oh, I love Penn State. But I like college football fine enough. You know, I'll watch it. It's not like I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And if there's specific players on, like, you know, if Bijan was playing last year and it's on the primetime game, or if it's on, I'm like, all right, I need to see that. If CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, stuff like that, or guys like that, I'm like, yeah, let me check this out. But I probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch a college football game.
So for the people,
I was going to say, though, I did go to Penn State versus, I believe it was Kent State last year, and that was fun.
Yeah, and going to games is always a whole lot of fun anyway. Yeah, yeah. So, but for people who are looking to get into Dynasty and they think that it's, you need to know a ton about these college players and that you need to always watch, you know, the games and everything, how do you prepare yourself for, like, going into a startup draft and getting your mindset ready for that?
So being a content creator, oh God, I hate that fucking word. Okay, someone that does fantasy
me too, but
and YouTube shows, like, I don't create content. Like, I'm not making art. Like, content creator sounds like such a falsification of what we do. Like, I'm not making music. You know what I mean? Like, I read lyrics because I love certain lyrics, and I'm always like, that is freaking beautiful. I can't imagine writing anything like that. That's a content creator. We just talk about fantasy football. So stop calling yourself a content creator. God damn it. We're not making art unless you've somehow made poems about it. Like, maybe you made fantasy football poems. Yeah, you know, you know who's a content creator? Jake Talbridge.
Okay.
Cooter Doodle.
Yeah.
And Zach Tacit Assassin, who does parodies.
I'm going to need to change the whole tagline for this show, but
ah,
I don't.
Shit. No, you know who, oh, well, you did raps.
Yeah.
That's how you got into it.
Yeah.
Who else? All the people that do the graphic stuff. Okay, so basically everyone else but me is a content creator then. So I'm just a dude that talks about fantasy football. now that I figured that out. Here's a fun thing. You don't need to know anything about the college players until they come into the pros. You don't. If you wanted to, you just look at their breakout age. Look at their yards per, just look at their collegiate profiles, look at their draft capital, look where their athletic profiles, like, you're going to know who to draft. Like, as much as I can make fun of ADP, ADP is usually a pretty good barometer of where a player should be drafted, right? Like, if everyone's drafting Bijan Robinson at 101 in your drafts, might be a little clue, like, Bijan Robinson might be good. You know, if these quarterbacks, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis are all going 102 to 107. You probably want to draft them in that range. But even if you wanted to, you know, you do want to dive in, there's so much information out there. Like, I was just like, DLF has a rookie profile series. And then they have looking at rookie draft picks over the last few years. Fantasy Points has an app. Dynasty Nerds has Film Room. Like, no matter, a Dynasty or Dynasty Dummies does a episode every week on the draft players. Like, unless you don't want to know, you can know. Like, there's so much, I'm going to say it, content out there that you could dive in today, not know anything about any of these players, and in a week, almost be a damn near expert. Just make sure you sprinkle in some real NFL stuff so that you have something to compare it against, because we do sometimes get a little hype in fantasy football, like over Malik Willis, when the NFL is telling us, like, no, slow that train. But there's so much content out there, podcasts, YouTube videos, Debbie Royale, my dude Kev always has videos. There's just so much content that if you want to know and you want to be an expert in these players, you can be an expert. You know, you can go to player profiler and figure out if this was a good college athlete or a good college producer. Like, it's giving you yards per reception. It's giving you their breakout age. It's giving you their dominator rating. You can find out their speed score, all that stuff. If you're in the tape, like I said, you can go damn near anywhere. Dynasty Nerds, DLF. You can hear Dynasty Dummies break down tape. Like, there's so much content out there that if you want to know, you can know. You have no excuse, at least I should say. You can't say, oh, I don't know these college players. Like, well, then that's on you, because literally from this time that the season ended to the NFL draft, and then even after that, there are shows just every day dedicated to college football players that are coming into the NFL. No excuse. So if you don't know about them, you're not putting in the work. And by putting in the work, I mean putting in earbuds and listening to other people talk.
Yeah. It's a win-win for everybody. You're helping boost people's listening or eyes on their work. And you're learning a little bit there and there and there. So definitely. Yeah, I don't know anything about college football. I barely know anything about it enough to get,
play. And one thing you can do is play in a Devi league or a campus to Canton league. If you don't want to get too deep with it, playing like one Devi league, right? Where the Devis don't even have to be that deep. Maybe there's like every team can have like, maybe there's 48 total Devi players. Like you'd be surprised how much you can learn when you're in a Devi league. You're like, oh wait, I need to draft these guys. I'm going to do a little bit of research. Like who's the top 100 Devi players. All right. Well, that's what one site says. What does this site say? Oh, okay. 247 Sports. What's that? Oh, let me go click on that. Like I that's just how my brain works, right? Everything's like a I don't want to say a wormhole because that's not a rabbit hole. It's like, oh, I start here and I'm like, oh, wait, I can get more information there. Oh, wait, there's more information there. Oh, wait, go there. There's more information.
Just keep on going. Yep.
And then eventually you learn to filter out what is bad information. And you learn how to filter out. I don't want to say who bad content creators are, because that's not what I want to put it. But people that talk without a base of knowledge, I should say. So there's so much content out there. No excuse. Playing a Devi league, though. Playing at least one. I'm in a couple, and I'm in one campus to Canton league, which is a whole other level of okay. Yeah, now I got to figure out like which of these college players are going to actually score points while they're in college. Okay. All right. Let me weigh that against which one of these players is going to be good when they're coming out. Like who's a better Devi prospect versus who's a better college player.
And being in 28 leagues, I'm sure like it's real fun keeping track of everything. Cause I'm sure rules are different in every league. I'm sure roster size, roster.
Look, I'm famous for this. I don't remember all that shit off the top of my head. And if people do, good for you.
God, yeah.
God bless you. But there's a ton of leagues that I go to. Like, so I have 8 listener leagues for the Dynasty Trades HQ show. We have 8 listener leagues. I know most of those rules because they're all the same.
Yeah.
I know most of the settings and the team sizes for most of them, they vary. But, you know, the other 20-something leagues I'm in, like, I'm not going to remember that off the top of my head. I'm going to go, well, it's definitely 12 teams. I know that. I know it's definitely super flex, and it's some version of PPR. And then every once in a while, if someone offers me a trade, I need to go, all right, let me go check the scoring and make sure that, you know, this makes sense. Like, I know people that keep spreadsheets, and they want to be able to go to the spreadsheet and look it up. I'm like, dude, it's 2023. Like, if I want to know something, I can just go to the internet. Like, I say this to my kids all the time. They'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, you can just go to Google and just, if you don't have to not know anything. Like, literally, there's no, this isn't the 40s. Like, we have, you know, computers in our hands. We have smartphones. Like, just go on to the site, go on to the league and look it up. Like, you don't get bonus points just because you remember. Like, good for you. Congrats. You know the settings for all your leagues. I don't, but you know how I can know them? I take 2 seconds and go log on to the site.
Yes. That's funny. But it's true. Very true.
I get it. Cool. Just some people think like you get bonus points for remembering that shit. And I'm like, No,
you actually lose points.
why are you not using technology that exists to, I don't know.
Well, is there anything about one or more of your leagues that's like a setting or a rule that you really like that got implemented, you know, something that you can think of or maybe something you don't like in leagues, either one?
I hate 2 tight ends. I know that. Obviously, I already talked about everything's got to be super flex. I like PPC. That makes it fun for me. One of the fun things is drafting future draft picks. I like doing that. I don't know. I'm pretty vanilla. Give me a super flex 14 team 0.25 PPC tiered scoring for tight ends. If we could get some tiered scoring for targets, that'd be great. I like target points per target. Yeah, just simple stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, and keeping it kind of vanilla, as you say, it's I like that as well. It makes it a lot more enjoyable for me than trying to. I don't want to do too much with my brain. I just want to do right. Just enough. Yeah. And are there any players that you watch that you're like kind of a fan of now because of fantasy football, players that like probably wouldn't be on your, not maybe not on your radar, but players you probably wouldn't like as, you know, be as invested in?
Oh, in real life. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, I would hope get hit by a Mack truck. But fantasy football purposes, he's my most rostered quarterback.
So
I used to be on this big kick of where like I couldn't root for you in real life, I won't root for you in fantasy, and then I'm like, they have no correlation and it doesn't matter if I support this person in real life or not, like their life's going to go on. I don't think it matters to Deshaun Watson if I own him in any fantasy leagues. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine he's like, damn, Shane.
Damn,
Shane doesn't have me in any leagues.
What is going on, bro? Like, why are you why are you doing this to him?
Like, what, just because I'm a sexual predator? Like, yeah, well, you're kind of a scumbag, but like it doesn't affect him in any way.
Yeah.
Allegedly, for anyone allegedly. That's a lawyer.
Yes, please, yes. Alleged. We're getting real, but also we're really just alleging a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, most players, like, I root for Cowboy players. Like, I wouldn't root for Cowboy players if it wasn't for fantasy football. I root against Eagles all the time. Like, when I watch the Eagles on Sunday or whatever they're playing, right, and the Eagles are winning, I start rooting for the other team to score points if I have players on their team. I'm like, oh, I could really use a Brandon Ayuk touchdown here. And everyone's looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, dude, they're up 14. I don't care. I was like, I ain't saying I want them to lose. I just need fantasy points. I
right. hope it's a shootout.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like, I love Dak Prescott as long as, you know, the Eagles beat him. I don't give a shit. I hope he goes out there and throws 70 touchdowns because I got him on all my rosters. But Chris Olave is a guy I fell in love with over last year. But yeah, just literally any player that's on my fantasy team, I'm rooting for it, even when they play the Eagles, because I want to win money and I like winning, period.
Right on. Yes. Oh, I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. People are like, oh, I can't root. And I get it. Like, some people, like, you can't separate the two. You're just like, oh, I can't root for Joe Mixon. I get it. You know, guy's probably a scumbag as he's charged with a weapons offense, whatever. Like Tyreek Hill, like that was like, that's when I first started. I'm like, I can't root for this guy. And I don't root for them as people. You know what I mean? Like, I separate the two. It's just, it's no different than music, right? I love certain music.
There's
also people that make that music and I go, oh, this person is just an absolute fucking terrible human being. Like Pink Floyd. I think it's Roger Waters, I think, is the guy. He's like an anti-Semite or whatever. But I love Pink Floyd. You know what I mean?
Right.
Growing up, I'm very left-leaning now, but I didn't particularly agree with a lot of Rage Against the Machine's political views. I do so more now, but even then I was like, well, I really like the music. You know what I mean? Like, part of it is I'm not really supporting these people in any way financially.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, well, first of all the music I get is stolen off of the interwebs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Unless it's not the, when we were kids, like when, what was it? What was that? Napster
is out. Yeah, there. I had Napster, LimeWire, yeah. I had all the like
get emails from the FTC that they're gonna come get us. I'm like, no. But like, I'm not supporting these people financially. Like, so I'm not supporting them like in life. You know what I mean? Like, I just separate the two. But anyway, back to the original question. Like, literally any fantasy player that's on my roster, I'm rooting for to do well, either so I can trade them or so that I can win.
Perfect. Shane, we're going to go ahead. We're going to get ready to wrap it up. I know. I could do this all day, but really, it's a beautiful, Saturday. And it is. Yeah, I'm going to go enjoy it. But before we go, can you go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you and what kind of stuff you got going on?
Oh, at Shane is the worst on Twitter. Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, Dynasty Trades and Five on YouTube, Fantasy Intervention, that's how you say that word, on YouTube. In the off season, I write Dynasty football stuff for DLF. In the redraft season, assuming they still want me, I'll be writing for Fantasy Data. And yeah, just usually on the Twitters, you can find me.
You should go find him. So go follow Shane on Twitter and make sure that you come back next week for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. And remember to stay rad.
Rad.